Just a quick word from our sponsor before we jump into today's episode. Optimizing your internal processes can often be a huge unlock for streamlining revenue and getting you and your team, if you have one, out of a manual process. If you're looking to reduce costs and headaches in one fell swoop, consider graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. It's the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere, and you cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all of your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. Everything seems to be more expensive these days, so proven ways to cut costs and boost performance at the same time, like NetSuite, are kind of a no-brainer. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/SPI. netsuite.com/SPI. Once again, netsuite.com/SPI. And now a quick word from our sponsor before we start the show. Ready to earn sustainable income while creating the work you're passionate about? Get started with Memberful. Whether you teach online courses, host a podcast, run a blog, or write a newsletter, Memberful has all the tools you need to unlock revenue and deeply connect with your audience through subscription membership. Their platform allows you to easily gate content, communicate with your audience, and tier membership access directly on your own website. Plus, with Memberful, there's no need to change your workflow. They work seamlessly and integrate with the tools you already use, including MailChimp, Discord, Zapier, ConvertKit, Google Analytics, and more. Utilize their powerful built-in features and dashboards and watch your business grow. The best part? Memberful gives you full control and ownership of your audience, your brand, and your business. Get started for free at memberful.com/SPI. One more time, that's memberful.com/SPI. This is a Smart Passive Income Podcast with Pat Flynn, session number 177. Hashtag bromance.
Welcome to the Smart Passive Income Podcast, where it's all about working hard now so you can sit back and reap the benefits later. And now your host, the winner of the Academy of Podcasters Best Business Podcast Award for 2015, Pat Flynn.
Our sponsor today is Uplift Desk, creators of office furniture designed to help you work better and live healthier. If you're like most entrepreneurs, you probably spend a lot of time sitting. Well, a standing desk can make a huge difference. It's actually a complete game changer. If you haven't tried one before, this offer from Uplift is for you. Plus, you can support the show at the same time. Visit upliftdesk.com/SPI for 5% off your order. Over a million customers have chosen Uplift Desk. Innovative product designs, reasonable pricing, same-day shipping, free accessories with every desk. You can see why they're such a big hit. Standing while I work helps me get the creative juices flowing, helps me focus and stay productive, and I'm way more alert when I'm standing. And Uplift is a great deal. An industry-leading 15-year warranty, free shipping, free return shipping if you need to do that. And they provide a state-of-the-art experience. They're stable, made of very solid materials, and there are over 100 desktop choices and customizations available. Go to upliftdesk.com/SPI for 5% off your order. That's upliftdesk.com/SPI to get 5% off your entire order. What's up? What's up, everybody? Thank you for joining me today in session 177 of the Smart Passive Income Podcast. Today, we're bringing on a guest who's been on the show three times before. This is one of my best friends in the world. This is Chris Ducker from chrisducker.com and youpreneur.com, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But today, we're going to be talking about this thing called Periscope. And the reason why I wanted to bring Chris on is because Chris has been utilizing Periscope very well, not just to kind of share fun things that are happening in his life. And for those of you who don't know, Periscope is a live streaming app that you can open up in your mobile device, and you can literally share what's going on around you live to people who are watching you, and you can interact with your audience. And we'll talk more about what Periscope is and how to use it and best practices and all those sorts of things in this episode. But the thing that struck me about Chris is, you know, I've known Chris for quite a while. I know that he is very, very, very strict with where he spends his time. And I saw him spending a lot of time on Periscope. And then I asked him, well, how's this Periscope thing working for you? Obviously, it must be because you're spending a lot of time on it. And he said, it's absolutely doing what I want it to do. So we're going to be talking about all those things today in this episode. So without further ado, here is Chris Ducker. Once again, my brother from another mother, from chrisducker.com and youpreneur.com. Here we go. What's up, everybody? Pat Flynn here again with one of my favorite guests on the show, one of my favorite people in the world, actually, Chris Ducker, back for a fourth time to talk about something very special. Chris, welcome back to the show, buddy.
Thank you, brother. Good to be back, and I'm pumped. I'm more than excited to be here, actually. I'm tingling at the very thought of being on your show one more time.
A little bit personal. We just started, and you're talking about tingling things already. But let's talk about why you're here. I mean, you've been on the show before. You have an amazing brick-and-mortar business, 250 employees in the Philippines. You also have chrisducker.com, Virtual Staff Finder, which I know a lot of us have used before, including myself. And now you are big into this thing. A lot of people are starting to get to know you because of what you are doing with Periscope. And for those of you who don't know what Periscope is, Chris is going to tell you in just a second. But the reason this really got my attention, you putting a lot of time into Periscope, is because I know you, Chris. You put your time where you know it can help you. You are very, very clear with, I only spend time where I know it's going to help me. And here you are spending quite a bit of time on Periscope. So first of all, what is Periscope? And secondly, why?
Well, Periscope ultimately is your own cable TV show in your pocket. That's really what it is. It's a mobile app that is owned and operated by Twitter. They bought it very early on in its infancy, before it really became public, quite frankly. And so, obviously, it's going head-to-head with Meerkat. I've tried Meerkat. I didn't like it. Periscope, I used it once and fell in love instantly. We can probably talk about that a little bit in a minute. But ultimately, the reason why I'm doubling down on this thing is because, as you well know, I'm all about that P2P connection with my community, that people-to-people connection. And I have no problems talking in front of a camera. I have no problems providing value and answering questions on the hop. And I'm quite happy to ad lib until the cows come home. So ultimately, it really, for me, this is like a dream come true, man. If I had this thing 5 years ago when I got started online, I would have been all in on this 5 years ago. But it's late, but I'm embracing it now, and I'm glad you are as well.
Yeah, I mean, I have been. I've been enjoying it very much. And the people, actually, we didn't even mention this, but there are about 150 people watching us live on Periscope right now while we record this, which is really awesome. And they're giving us hearts. They're saying some amazing things, and we'll talk more about them in a second. But my question is, well, wasn't live streaming around for a while? There was Ustream, there was Livestream. What makes Periscope different?
Well, yes, it has been for a while. It has been around for a while. But, you know, what makes Periscope different is that it's literally available for everybody. It's right there. It's on their phone. It's in their pocket. It's very intuitive. It's very, very easy to use. And I mean, it's instant, isn't it? You know, with Ustream, you've got to go and you've got to set it up. And I did one Ustream broadcast in my life, and it was enough to end it all for me, because it was so tiring. And there was just so much involved in having to set it up and get people there and all the rest of it. With Periscope, it makes everything much, much easier.
Yeah, I mean, that's for sure. I've done some live streams before as well, and it does take a lot to set up. But also, you know, the Periscope's on your phone, and everybody has access to a phone and a camera, and it's free. You know, that's the crazy part about it. It's absolutely free. And anybody anywhere in the world with a connection can live stream wherever they're at. So no longer do we need a studio with lights and all this stuff. It's a little bit more casual, so it's okay if it doesn't look as good. But you can also take your audience anywhere. And not just the audience that you already have, but the audience that you can build on Periscope too, because people are finding a lot of people and being introduced to each other as well through this platform. And it's truly, truly amazing. And so the fact that you're spending a lot of time on it made me want to explore it more. And I've explored it for the past couple of weeks now, doing a couple a day. And the interactions that you have, the live interaction, the communication you have with your audience as well. And it's just a load of fun. It helps people understand you and that you're authentic and, you know, all these things. So if you aren't on Periscope yet, I would highly recommend you check it out. And for those of us, Chris, who are just starting out, or for those who want to get started, what are some tips that you have? I mean, we're just going to spitball, go back and forth on what's been working and what's not working. And, you know, you've obviously seen a lot of people start Periscopes recently as well. And, you know, I know some are better than others. Let's talk about it. Let's kind of do a brain dump of Periscope tips right now to help people out in any which way possible. So how about maybe we can even go back and forth and just kind of just go riff off of each other in that way. What do you think?
Yeah, I love this idea. I mean, so I think the first thing is that, you know, understand that it is casual. You know, you can become, obviously, you could go the full blown, you know, sort of, you know, the whole broadcasting route with this whole thing and get lights and backdrops and a set and all that sort of stuff and, mics and all that stuff. And, I've got a mic that I plug in just for clarity purposes from time to time. But other than that, I don't use lights. I don't do anything at all other than just, slam my phone on a tiny little desktop tripod, which is what, it's on right now as we live broadcast this. But it's it. So, my first kind of tip here is really just to keep it at first, initially anyway, just keep it candid, keep it easy. Don't stress about having or trying to come up with a ton of different topics to talk about. Just keep it candid and genuinely just be you and connect with your audience in a very authentic way so you're not having to stress out over things too much. But as time goes by, you can obviously become a little bit more strategic.
Right. I mean, I know a lot of people who have wanted to start a Periscope after seeing you do it, after seeing a number of people, really start to build a big audience on it. But they freak out. They get scared. And, even more so than filming a YouTube video where you can re-edit and re-record and stuff. I mean, this stuff is live. So do you have any tips for people who are going into this live thing? I mean, you said be casual, be yourself, which is obviously very important. But, there's just something about this live thing that's really scary for some people. I mean, some people I'm sure listening to this right now couldn't even imagine allowing people into their lives to see exactly what they're doing, not just what they look like, but where they are, what they're up to, and how their voice sounds, everything. It's all kind of it's really scary a little for some people. It's like they're almost, everybody watching us right now, it's kind of live. It's like they're spying on us. Right? Like, I have to make sure not to pick my nose right now because everybody can see that and will probably call me out on it.
Right. And you do. And you do. You pick your nose quite excessively. So that's I can understand how you're having to
keep the airstreams right clean. When you use your voice, you got to keep the airstreams clean. And anyway,
now he's trying to justify the nose picking issue that he obviously lives with. No, I mean, I'm playing with you all. He doesn't pick his nose that much.
I do.
I think what it is, honestly, it really comes down to, understanding the fact that, maybe this isn't for everybody. Maybe Periscope is not for everyone. Maybe you are introverted. Maybe you don't like the idea of being in front of people, even anonymously on the internet to a certain degree. Like, I get that totally and I understand it. And if that's the case, that's cool. Then, carry on blogging, carry on podcasting. If that's your vibe, it's all good. No one's going to persecute you for not wanting to use Periscope. But I think for those people, particularly those people that are building a business based around a personal brand per se, I think it's very important for people to engage and embrace Periscope. It ain't going to go nowhere. Twitter are investing stupid amounts of money on this. Mm-hmm. And hang on, I need to turn off my Skype thing here before we start getting... Okay, do not disturb.
We got Skype blocked just now.
That's why we do it. Yeah, just blocking everybody right now. for me, it's all about just understanding that because I build a business around me and my personal brand and my personality, my value that I provide my audience, it's important for me to really double down on Periscope for me personally, because it's a genuine kind of platform where I can just be myself and truly practice what I preach. And what I practice is exactly what I preach. You've got to be you all the time. Mm-hmm. This is the way people do business nowadays. And, I know that you're a big believer of that philosophy as well.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. If you are building a personal brand, it's obviously important to be personal. And there is really no other way to be more personable than something like this, except for meeting people in person, and I think a lot of cool things can happen. And, it almost feels like, you're building a real relationship in this way. I mean, I know I feel like that with the people who are on watching now. Some people who are watching now also mentioned that, they're scared about the perfection. The perfection is holding them back. They're trying to be perfect. And this is for anything, anybody doing anything. We want to do our best. And when it comes to doing things live where you can't edit and you can't kind of redo things, if you're trying to be perfect, it's just not going to work. But I like that you also said this isn't for everybody. And if you feel like it's not for you because there are legit reasons it just doesn't make sense for your business, then move on from it. And I think that's really smart that we talk about that now, because this is growing. It is big. Everybody's talking about it now. This is the next big thing. And whenever the next big thing happens, people get into the next big thing who shouldn't be on the next big thing. Don't lose focus on what's important.
Yeah, no, you make a really good point there, actually, where you say that, maybe because it's the next big thing and everybody wants to be involved in it, you know, a lot of people do start getting involved in it, and it either doesn't fit them well, or they're mumbling and stumbling too much, or whatever the case may be, they just shouldn't be on there. So, you know, you'll know. I think ultimately you're going to know whether or not this is going to be for you pretty early on. For me, I knew it almost after my first just handful of scopes. I knew I wanted to double down. But, you know, it's for me, really, it's just it's the perfect way to be able to deliver value to my audience. So much so that where, you know, when I sit and plan just last week, my content calendar for the rest of this year with my team, we're actually planning out content to share directly onto Periscope and not just on the blog and my podcast and elsewhere. So it really, you know, this is now personally going to become a very, very important part of my overall online growth strategy.
Yeah, I think it's really smart for you. I feel like it fits right into my business. And I really feel like one of the things that helps me the most, because I will be honest with everybody out there watching and listening right now, I still get nervous before I hit record. And, you know, I spend a few extra seconds just, you know, okay, like, let's do this. We got this, like kind of having to give myself a pep talk before I go. And so hopefully that gives you some encouragement, because, you know, some of the best performers in the world throw up before they go on stage. You know, I don't know who those names are, but also what helps me is I just click and go. You just get started. And I found that once I get over that hump of actually just hitting that button, it actually just helps. I get into it, and you get into that zone where things just start to flow if you plan ahead. Now, when I first started doing scopes, I didn't really know what I was going to say. I was just at a location. I actually started mostly in Australia when I was getting coffee, and I just said, hey, ask me anything. And that's a great way to start. Just, hey, if you guys have any questions, you know, you can ask me. But Chris, I know that you plan ahead. You actually outline, I think, the scopes that you do ahead of time. That's one cool thing about you is when I get a notification, and that's one of the another powerful thing about Periscope is when people follow you, when you come out with your, when you're live streaming, there's a notification that those people get. And it basically says, hey guys, whatever you're doing, stop, because check it out. Chris Ducker is right now live. Come and watch. And that's huge. When you think about how much we're trying to get in front of people, how much we're trying to collect email addresses, how much we're trying to get, you know, people to follow us on Twitter and Facebook. I mean, stopping people where they're at and saying, hey guys, watch me where I'm at now. Be very powerful if you are delivering the right message, of course. So how does that sit with you? And then like, how much do you plan before these things go?
So it really depends. You know, sometimes I got to be honest with you. It's still a bit of a duck shoot right now, because I've planned some scopes before. And when I say plan, I mean, literally we're talking about a post-it note pad, a pen, and like three talking points, and then coming up with a really kind of intuitive type title to entice people in. And ultimately, it never usually really goes the exact way that I think it's going to go. Mm-hmm. But it always leads me down some sort of a path where not only am I providing value, but I'm continuing to connect with my audience. And that is the key right there, I think, to Periscope growth, period, is to genuinely connect with the audience. And when I say connect, I don't mean just scope on a regular basis. I mean actually acknowledge and engage with the people that are on your broadcast. And that, for me, is my focus. So yes, I want to provide value. Yes, I do schedule some talking points. Every now and then, I'll actually just get onto Periscope and I'll say, hey, I got 15 minutes. Ask me anything you want. I'll talk about anything. I did one of those broadcasts earlier on today. I was literally on 15 minutes. And by the time I was done and finished, you know, there's another 20,000 hearts ready to go. So it's, I think, as long as you're providing value, it doesn't really matter. But at the end of the day, I think that Periscope will become more professional. I think that the people that genuinely want to make a major impact on it will ultimately have to start planning their scopes out almost like a TV show. Mm-hmm. And scarily enough, a live TV show where anything can go wrong. But obviously with a live TV show, they don't, you know, people on live TV, they don't have the ability to interact in real time like this. Yes, they might be streaming Twitter next to them or something, but this is a whole different ballgame. This is like live TV and social media combined, mm-hmm, on the biggest, most powerful horse steroids that you can get on the illegal market. And that is why I believe that Periscope is going to be such a massive game changer in any industry. It doesn't matter what business you're in.
Right. Well, it was the big thing. Actually, no, it was Meerkat, which is a similar app. That's the one that came out first, actually. That was the big thing at South by Southwest this past year. And then Periscope by Twitter came out a week later. So, you know, this live video, live interaction thing has been very big since then. And I think Periscope does have more room for growth in terms of helping people be more professional in it. But I don't know. I like the casual aspect of it. But, you know, they're always coming out with new features and things like that. And the cool thing about Periscope is I really admire the way they launched. They launched definitely with an MVP, a minimum viable product. And they've been listening to the audience and asking, what else do you want in this? And so more of these features are coming out, which I think is really cool. We're going to get into some more tactics and strategies like, okay, this is what you do when you start a Periscope. This is how you get more hearts and, you know, all this stuff. But let's just keep going back and forth. Are there any tips that come to mind for those beginners out there who are on Periscope and, you know, maybe they're still waiting for that first one, or they done one and maybe didn't get a lot of viewers?
Well, you know, okay, so let's break this down. What do we do to actually start Periscoping, right? What do we do to actually start our first scope? So, you know, we open up the app, we click on the broadcast, you know, button at the bottom of the screen. Or at least that's the way it is on iOS. I don't even know how it looks. I've got to assume it looks similar, pretty simple, yes. on the Android, right? So, and then at the end of the day, what you want to do is you click that thing, you click the button, and then you go ahead and insert a title of some kind. And when you insert that title, it has to be as enticing
yes.
as it possibly can be without being too stupid, obviously, or too misleading. You don't want to go sort of on the whole bait and switch scenario. But obviously, nice and enticing. And, you know, get people's reaction immediately so they go ahead and click on it, you know, above and beyond all the other broadcasts that they could be tuning in. Now, your hardcore fans, followers, friends, and family are going to go ahead and click on whatever you go live with regardless, because they, you know, they're fans of you, they love you, it is what it is. But, the you know, we're not doing this just for our normal audience and community. We're actually doing this to try and find new audience members and to grow our community through Periscope, just like we would anywhere else on social with Facebook or LinkedIn or Twitter or anywhere else for that matter. So, you know, once you get that title in, you hit the big red broadcast now button and boom, you are live, baby. And at that point, it then becomes, if you want to get any real kind of clarity on things, it then becomes, you know, really important to use a few little tactics to make sure you do, you know, get things like followers and hearts and shares and things like that. So we can totally, you know, start busting some of those things down if you want.
Right. So when you start a Periscope, there's a button that gives you the option to tweet out that headline that you create. And Twitter is pretty much predominantly where most of the people started following me from and getting notice. And what happens is people who don't even follow you on Periscope can come and view your Periscope. If they're on a desktop, they're going to see the desktop version. If they're on a mobile device, it's going to open up the app or prompt to open up the app or download the app, which is going to allow them to truly follow you on mobile and get those notifications in the future. So that's the first thing you want to do. Also, put your copywriting skills into place for that headline. I think that's really important as well. Make it short, sweet, and enticing as well. Some people have been doing some cool things with you know, emojis and emoticons and those types of things to kind of capture people's attention as well. But there's another way that people can find you. And these are people who have never found you before who could become a follower and potentially a raving fan down the road. And that is through Periscope's just list of broadcasts that are going live right now. And there are a lot of people who just randomly go and see what's on right now. And they might find you in that way, especially if that is an enticing headline there. Another thing when you're just starting out is during the first few seconds, whatever you have on the screen through your mobile app, that's going to become the sort of thumbnail or icon image for that particular scope that you create. Am I right, Chris?
Yes, absolutely. But you know, you don't have to show that for very long. It can just be literally a second or two. And then it's always wise to just flip the camera over to you so that when people, you know, start actually viewing your scope, they don't see, you know, the random Coca-Cola can that's in front of you. They actually see you.
Right. And there is a person in.
I got to tell you a story real quick, because this it's embarrassing to really like admit this, but when I first started playing around, I don't think I've told you this story. When I first started playing around with Periscope, I was searching around looking for different people's scopes to look at, and we talk about random, you know, thumbnails and stuff. And I came across a one which was of a ceramic elephant, and I then decided to click on that scope, which had the title Ceramic Elephant. And it was just the picture of, or rather, it was just an image, a video image being broadcasted to tons of people all around the world of a ceramic elephant on somebody's living room floor. And
what?
There was this weird, this, I'm telling you.
How many
the
people
weirdest,
were watching with you?
Oh, I don't know. Probably, I can't remember. Probably 70, 80 people. I don't know. It was the weirdest thing. But the what was even more weird was that, you know, the camera was moving. So you knew somebody was there. They didn't just set it up on a tripod for a prank or something. And so in the background, there was all these kind of jungle noises and music and drums. And every now and then you would hear this, you know, this elephant noise. And it was like the weirdest thing. But what was even more weird was I sat and watched that thing for way too long, like way longer than I should have done it. Way, way longer.
That's
true
funny.
Story.
So is the strategy just find a ceramic elephant and just record yeah. that for a few minutes? Anyway, that's really funny though. Another somebody in one of the Periscopes that is watching us live right now, Styles Curls Tay, mentioned that you can actually tweet out ahead of time and let your followers know that you are about to do a live stream. I think that's a smart strategy as well. Kind of prime your existing followers to know that, hey, in a few seconds or in a minute or two or whatever time during the day that you're going to do it, look out for this link, the Periscope link. Follow me here so you get a notification, and that way you can get even more viewers on. And the more viewers you have on, the better, because it becomes that community aspect. And you'll start to notice a lot of the people who are in there chatting aren't chatting with you. They're chatting with each other. And that's kind of cool. And they start to connect with each other and at reply each other as well. It just becomes this great thing. And when in anything, if you are the person who facilitates these interactions in your community, whether it's a live meetup, whether it's Periscope, whether it's a conversation on your blog, it just only heightens and levels up your brand. You become that focus point. Even though people are there and talking to each other, it's all there because you started this, you're facilitating it. And Periscope does a nice job, and it makes it easy for us to do that. Okay, so we just started our Periscope. I guess we're kind of going through a hypothetical starting of a scope and giving best practices from there. I heard a tip the other day from somebody who had mentioned that when you first start out, you're going to have zero people watching because people take time to come on and watch. And so during those first few seconds, however, instead of just waiting there or talking to nobody, you can talk to the replay viewers. Now, when you finish up with your scope, there will be a replay that's available on Periscope. There'll be a link, and people can watch it for up to 24 hours after that scope goes live. The cool thing is, when people watch that replay, if you talk to the replay people when you start your scope, you're actually talking to the people who are going to watch this later, and you can say a few things that are cool, like, hey, what's up, replay viewers? Thank you for watching. Make sure to tap on the screen and share your love. If you tap on the screen, what happens is you get hearts, and we'll talk more about that in a second. But you can give them some instructions and just welcome them so that when they start watching the replay, it's not just silence, but they're there. They're already engaged and listening to you and perhaps helping you out with giving you some hearts too.
Absolutely. The other thing that I found also is that when you first start broadcasting, it's a nice way to be able to wait until you get a few more people into the live stream to just converse quickly and engage with the audience a little bit. Ask people where they're tuning in from. That, I mean, everybody wants to share where they are and what they're up to. So I usually ask that question. I sometimes ask what they're all about. You know, what do you do for a living? What's your passion? What do you do? What do you like to do on, what do you like to do on the holiday? Where do you spend your time on the weekend? Just little things, little chit chat, just to get things going. Just like you would at sort of almost like at the beginning of a cocktail party or a dinner, where you would get people sort of just at first dribbling in bit by bit. And then before you sort of start the real party, you're just sort of going around chatting with each other. That's exactly what I do at the beginning of my broadcast. And actually, Pat, you and I both do this when we speak live. Before we go on stage, we make it a point to go through the audience a little bit and actually converse with the people that are sitting there right there ready and waiting for us to keynotes. And that really, for me, that's a big plus as well. That's a big plus.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. I mean, I do that because it makes me feel more comfortable. It also makes the people out there know that, you know, I'm somebody that's friendly, somebody that they know is actually paying attention to them. And when you ask questions like, hey, where are you from? What do you do? What time is it where you're at? Those are all fun little things that people can quickly answer. It's sort of training them to start communicating with you on that scope. And it's also showing that, you know, you care about them. And I think it was James Schramko who said, you know, one of the best ways to grow as an influencer is to stop trying to be so interesting and start getting interested. So when you give other people an opportunity to share what they're up to, they're only going to be more connected to you in that way. You just have to give them permission to do that. And so that goes along with another thing that's an important point, especially for Periscope users who are there live with the community, is you really have to know that in order to get something, you need to ask. You can't just sit there and talk about yourself all day and expect people to answer and start talking. But when you ask questions, that's when people start to chime in and communicate. And you can ask whatever you want. It's your show. And so be open, have a conversation. Some things I like to do is have people choose between A or B or one or two, and people can just easily tap in one or two. For example, hey, if it's morning where you're at, press one. If it's evening, press two. And you know, those quick little polls go a really long way with that interaction as well. And that's, again, the whole point of this Periscope thing is, yes, you can provide value, but in addition to that, you are actually interacting and letting the people who are there in your community or the people who are just getting to know you, you're letting them participate, and participation, you know, breeds support. So yeah.
One other thing that I do that actually works really well, and it's good to know from a broadcaster perspective as well, when I get on the scope and actually regularly throughout the scope, and there's one thing that I actually want to, I have a tip that I want to share, which has absolutely revolutionized the amount of people that have been following me. I'm 100% sure this is the reason why I've had so many people following me. Now I'm looking at Pat. He's doing something to my head or something. On the screen. For you guys that are listening to the audio podcast, he's squashing my head or something on Periscope right now. There's one thing that I've done actually that's worked really well, and I'm sure it's contributed towards getting more followers, which is important because they do get those notifications when you go live. There's two things. The first thing is that when I regularly throughout the broadcast itself, I'll actually ask regularly, if you're new to Duckerscope, type in the word new right now in the comment section. And every single time I ask that question, there's always a flurry of people that go ahead and actually follow that order and they type in new. And that allows me to specifically call that person's name out specifically. And as I say this right now, Lisa has just typed in the word new to my comment stream on my broadcast. Hello, Lisa. You see what that does? It's now I've been able to acknowledge her. I'm embracing with her immediately, and the fact that she's on my Periscope broadcast. And that's important to me because I'm not doing this for fun. I'm doing this to be able to hang out with cool people. So that's the first thing. Ask people. If you're new, type in the word new. And not just at the beginning of your broadcast. Do that several times throughout the course of the broadcast because, and this leads me on to my next tip, people come and go on broadcasts all the time. Mm-hmm. They don't stick around forever. They come and go all the time. And because of that, it's important to make sure that you hit almost like a virtual reset button in your broadcast, okay? So every 5 minutes or so, now it sounds like it's quite a short time, but it's actually not. Every 5 minutes or so, as you're talking away and conversing, every 5 minutes or so, hit that virtual reset button and turn around and say, hey, and if you're just joining us, thank you so much for joining us here on Duckerscope. It's great to have you here. I very much appreciate you. We're discussing XYZ this morning so that it can help you get ABC. So getting back to what I was saying, blah, 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 blah. Just doing that little virtual reset button has, I believe, enabled me to engage with people immediately with the type of content that I share on Periscope very, very quickly when they come on, like within 30 seconds or so as people come and go. And I'm 100% sure that that has allowed me to garner more followers since I've been doing that in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I mean, it's important to do that. Like you said, people go in and out. I've had a few people mention that they're new here as well. RQ Associates and a few other people as well. Somebody with the handle that had the word Luna in it. I missed it, but I apologize about that. But it is so cool when you're on the other end. Check this out. When you're on the other end and you see the person who's doing this live broadcast call out your name and mention you, it is one of the coolest feelings in the world. And you forget that when you're broadcasting. But when you're on the other end, it's pretty awesome to hear that this person's actually paying attention to you. I mean, it's amazing. I remember back in 2006, I believe, or no, excuse me, 2008, when I was first getting into blogging, Chris, I stumbled upon a live stream by Darren Rouse. And I think it was on ProBlogger or Blog TV or one of those old ones where you had to have a webcam in front of your computer and that's the only way to do it because mobile wasn't big at that point. And he was doing a live broadcast. I went on, I asked a question, and he answered my question. This huge, big-time blogger, Darren Rouse from ProBlogger.net, answered my question. And that was super inspirational. I'd fallen in love with him ever since. So those call-outs are really, really important. For those of you who have followed our brands for a while, who have may have heard some content about webinars, you'll hear a lot of similarities because webinars are very similar. And when you start a webinar, one of the best practices is to welcome everybody, to let people know why they're there, but also to call people's names out. Hey, where are you guys from? Let me know where you're at. Thank you, Jim. Thank you, Carol. Thank you, Debbie. I appreciate you guys for being on. And even if you don't get to everybody's name, the fact that you're calling out people's names just shows that A, it is live and it's for real, but also that you're actually paying attention to the audience in whole. So that's so awesome. So, okay. So moving on, we've had a few people who are watching live now who are probably first time Periscope users. They're wondering what the hearts are for. Let's talk about the hearts really quick. So what are the hearts for? For me, I feel like it's just a way for you to kind of applause and clap a little bit. You know, if you're on the other end, you're watching, all you have to do is tap the screen and the hearts pop up on the little corner, and the heart color corresponds to the color of your avatar if you're watching a scope. And that's your way to just say, hey, nice, I like that, good job. And so we see a number of people hearting right now, so they must like what we see. And one of the cool things that I like to do, Chris, and one of the things that, you know, a lot of people think these hearts are kind of useless, and you know, on one end, yeah, maybe. I mean, they don't really matter, kind of. You know, they're just hearts, and people can tap away as much as they like. But for me, when I watch my replays, and I do this, I very, very much so do this, and I'm not sure if you do this too, Chris, but when I have content that I'm sharing, maybe I go into a Periscope and it's my top three tips about whatever topic, I go and watch the replay. And during the time when I'm actually watching myself give this content, I see when people are giving me hearts to kind of pay attention to what it is that I just said that triggered that heart, you know, spill or flood, the flood of hearts. And that gives me a point, and it gives me notice that, okay, that's something that really stuck, and maybe I should continue to say that, or maybe I can expand on it. Maybe that could become a blog post. Maybe that could become a product, or, you know, those types of things are really important to me. And so in that way, the hearts are really cool and why I really like paying attention to them. That's why less so than other people, I don't always ask for hearts, maybe not as much as I should, but I know when you ask, you get, and people tap. But I like to have people heart on their own so I know what they like about what I'm saying.
Yeah, I agree. I actually agree with everything that you've just said, everything. I will add, however, that I think that, you know, I mean, hearts are like a social metric to a certain degree as well. I think, you know, it is almost like a virtual applause. I'm sitting here right now. Anybody that's viewing my scope and maybe can see me on yours as well, I'm sitting here right now, a little post-it note with the words tap here written on it. And let me tell you something. Every single time I'm on the screen with that little tap here post-it note on my shirt, people will give me hearts. If I flip the camera over to Pat, where there's no hearts involved, or when there's no call to action involved to actually tap and give hearts, the pats slow down, or rather the hearts slow down. The pat might slow down as well.
Hey,
we don't
know.
Did
you know that pat is tap backwards?
Yes, I did. Yeah.
Mind blown.
Is that why they called you Flat Pin?
Yeah, that was my nickname in college. That has nothing to do with Periscope. I know you just wanted to say that.
I know. It's every time I say it, it's just the funniest thing for me. I don't know why.
Flat Pin. People are dyslexic or whatever when they say that.
Flat Pin. Okay. So, but getting back to the hearts, it is a bit of a social metric. Now I've got Flat Pin in my head. It is a bit of a social metric. It's a bit of a vanity metric, right? It's almost like those Facebook lights when everybody was sort of working hard to sort of try and build up their Facebook pages. They were all like, I want likes. I want likes. Some people even bought likes. They wanted them so bad. But ultimately, I think, I don't know, man. I don't know how you feel about this, but for me personally, I think there's something more to these hearts that is not out there as public knowledge right now. Something tells me that they're going to have some kind of a, I don't know, I can't quite put it in the words because I'm not quite sure what they're going to be, but there's something telling me, there's something niggling away at me saying that these are going to be more than just a kind of a social hand clap count. Maybe it's a ranking thing. Maybe it's not.
That's really interesting. Some people in here are saying, well, when you start to do that, then people are going to buy hearts. They're going to sell hearts. And, you know, that always happens and that sucks. But yeah, I mean, the hearts are cool. I think if anything, it's at least social proof. Oh my gosh, this person has 50,000 hearts. I should definitely pay attention because other people love him too, or love her too. Right. So that's level one. But you might be right. I'm really interested to see, oh, well, maybe there'll be a ranking situation at some point, or maybe categories, and you can rank in different categories. That might be kind of interesting as well. And it's all, you know, maybe the hearts play a role in the algorithm, and maybe it's a algorithm with the followers and then retention rate and time viewed and, you know, all these other metrics that Periscope actually pays attention to. You actually see those metrics, how many people were on, your retention rate, the total viewing hours, which is kind of interesting to see that sometimes when I finish these, I see that the total viewing hours is like 42 hours across all the people added up together. And I'm like, wow, I've just shared 42 hours with people essentially, which is pretty awesome to think of. And the thing that blows my mind away most about Periscope is here we are, we're talking live now. I don't know how many people you have on your end, Chris, on Duckerscope, but on Patscope right now, there's about 50 or 60. And, you know, we go to events sometimes and speak, and sometimes there are less people in the audience, yet we spend days preparing for these presentations. We fly there, we travel, and then all this other stuff that tires us out. And here we are with just a button or two, we are able to talk to and provide value to hundreds of people all around the world who don't have to travel to come and see us. And it's live and we can interact. So, man, this kind of stacked up against public speaking is a really interesting thing when you think about it.
Well, I think it also comes back to the fact that, you know, I know a lot of people who have been speaking for a long time and they've been actively speaking who have stopped doing so much travel. They've stopped doing so much speaking. They've stopped doing, you know, these huge tours where they're on the road for sort of 5-6 weeks in a row because it's tiring. It's exhausting. Honestly, I think the payoff is not as big as it used to be. For you and I who love being in front of a live audience, that will never disappear completely.
Right.
But one thing is for sure, you know, I did about 28, 29 gigs worldwide in 2014, which was insane.
That is
but
insane.
I was, yeah, but I was promoting a book. Remember that.
True,
so I was promoting a book. So I, you know, I would go to, you know, one state and do sort of 4 or 5 gigs in the space of literally the same amount of days, if not less. One day in Australia last year, I did 3 gigs in one day. Morning, after lunch, and then in the evening. So, you know, it really comes down to, I think, understanding that, yes, it's not going to replace public speaking, that's for sure, particularly as a brand building ingredient. However, what I do believe is that it will change the way that people are interacting with their online communities. This is not a YouTube video. You know what I mean?
No,
and right now, Periscope doesn't allow you to search for keywords. So, you know, really, it's all about the broadcaster, what following he's already got, how many followers they've actually amassed, not only from Twitter, but also from obviously over on Periscope specifically as well. And somebody's just commented on my screen, and Leanne, I'm going to comment you on this. The interaction is gold. The interaction here is gold. It's the weirdest thing to try and get your head around it at first. But once it starts, it's almost quite addictive.
It is.
Because if you are a P2P content creator, marketer type of individual like you and I are, if we're like that, then this is like, not that I've ever done this and I'm genuine, I've never done a drug in my life, but I can assume that this is like getting high, literally, because it's that instant gratification, that instant feeling of people not only tapping the screen and giving you those hearts, but then also that instant feedback on things that you say and you know, ideas that you present to them and value that you share with them. You cannot, for me right now, this is why I'm doubling down. You can't beat it right now. You just can't beat it. It's a buzz. It's a true buzz.
It really is. I mean, whenever I finish a scope, whether it's a 5-minute scope or like a 20-minute scope or even an hour sometimes, you know, I feel awesome coming out of it. I feel like I can conquer the world, you know, at that point. Somebody was asking, this was Mobile Matters Co. here on Periscope, on Patscope right now, was asking about frequency. Well, how many Periscopes should we do? How often? Maybe how long they should be. We can get into that question. So how many Periscopes is right? What's the right answer?
Well, I mean, look, to build a following on Periscope, one is one thing is brutally, brutally clear. And I think actually the same can be said for a blog, for a podcast, for a YouTube channel, anything at all, content creation and marketing wise. But definitely I've seen it. Those that have grown followings on Periscope quickly in the short space of time that it's been up and running and done it well for the right reasons and, quite frankly, with the right community, they are broadcasting often. They are doing it consistently, whether it be once a day, five times a day, some people are on, you know, maybe they are doing it, you know, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, whatever the schedule is. I think it's important to put some kind of a rough schedule in place and then go ahead and actually make sure that you don't deviate away from that schedule too much. I think that, you know, once you start doing that, and I've actually, you know, I've missed the other, I basically broadcast every single morning in the Philippines, Monday through to Friday. So around 10 a.m. my time here in the Philippines, which is around 10 p.m. Eastern time the night before, I will pop on for around about 30 minutes or so. Sometimes a little bit longer, depending on what we're discussing and how well, you know, how big the audience is and all that sort of stuff. You know, I'm not going to leave 130, 140 people hanging. I'm going to hang out with them for a little bit longer, obviously.
Right.
So, but I have found that, you know, just following that rough schedule has helped me garner a very, very loyal following for hashtag Duckoscope. And, you know, you can search that hashtag on Twitter, and you can see exactly what I'm talking about. I get people not only tweeting me after the show, but even during the show as well. If they're watching on the web, and the, you know, Periscope doesn't allow you to physically comment whilst you're watching on your desktop yet, only on the mobile device. Although I'm sure that's going to happen at some point soon. But one thing that I have seen is that people will actually miss your broadcasts if you're consistent. People will miss your broadcasts.
Like miss it, like, it's, oh my, yeah, oh like, man, I didn't get to see
like
it.
I've actually, yeah, exactly. I've actually had people tweet me saying, yo, what's up, Chris? No Duckoscope today? What's going on? And I'm like, I'll be on later on. I was actually doing some work. You know what I mean? That kind of thing. Or, you know, at the meeting or something along those lines. You know, so it's one of those things. You know, if you do it consistently enough, I believe that, you know, that in itself is enough to build somewhat of a loyal following. But obviously at that point, you've got to start providing that value and providing what I always say is, you know, provide solutions to people's problems. Listen to your audience and then create the solutions to their problems and their struggles.
Right. Listening to your audience is huge. And I asked my audience this question the other day on Periscope, which one would you prefer? Periscopes that come out scheduled, you know when they're coming out, you know ahead of time when they're going to happen, or do you like the random ones? And for a while, I was just doing the random ones, and then I kind of got into this rhythm where I get up in the morning, and before I get to work or kind of during my miracle morning routine when I'm writing my journal, around that point, I start out the day with a short Periscope. And then when I'm recording at night, maybe I'm recording an episode of Ask Pat, or I'm getting, you know, ready to do some work after the kids go down, I do one then as well. And, you know, like you said, people begin to expect when those things happen. And I don't think there's any wrong answer in terms of how frequent you should do it. You just have to be consistent, like you said. But also beyond people liking the scheduled stuff, we've had a lot of people who said they like the random ones too, because they like the surprise. They like, you know, just whatever is happening. I did one today at a random time where I was just reading Harry Potter to my kids. And so that one had nothing to do with business, but it was kind of a cool glimpse into my daily life. And a lot of people enjoyed that one. And so you could mix it up a little bit. And that leads me to the next topic that I want to talk about are, what are some ideas for things that people can do on their Periscope? You know, what types of content, what types of value can people provide, or what types of scopes can people do? This will help give people ideas, because I know a lot of people who have tried to start Periscoping or even try to do YouTube videos, and they're there with the camera, they're ready to go. And then they're like, I don't know what I'm going to say. I don't know what I'm going to do. And it just takes a little bit of structure and a little bit of a theme, for example, of that particular scope. What do you suggest? Maybe we can go back and forth on different kinds.
Yeah. So, you know, remember when you were at school, there was always one day of the term or the year or the month or I don't know, maybe it was the week. I don't know. But in the UK, we did this, I don't know, probably once every, maybe twice a year or something. Show and tell. Do you remember show and tell
at
school? Right. Everybody would get so excited. They would get all amped up and, you know, no sugar required. The kids would go crazy. And show and tell to this day is still one of the best things that you can do as a content creator. Show people where you are. tell them about where you are. If you're, you know, if you're walking around the city and there's good data, then go ahead and show people, you know, exactly what you're doing and what you're up to. You know, I was randomly on a scope. I think I was just doing a random Q&A one day as well with my audience. And somebody asked, hey, can you give us a tour of your home office? And I was like, sure, okay. So I unclipped the phone from the tripod that I use when I'm scoping. And I started just randomly walking around my office. And it's not the most interesting office in the world, but I started, you know, walking around it and showing people my book collection, some of my, you know, magazine clippings and newspaper clippings. And, you know, I've got a signed, you know, huge signed, you know, poster photo frame thing here of Magic Johnson and Larry Bird. You know, you've been in my office. I mean, you know, here in my house. So, you know, all these things, it was like, you know, this is where I sit on my beanbag when I'm reading the book. This is where I'm doing this, blah, 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 blah. And people loved it. They ate it up. Show and tell is huge for scopes because people, you know, why are they watching? They're voyeuristic, man. Plain simple. They are voyeuristic. They want to know what's going on in your life. It's not just about value. It's also about curiosity as well. So, you know, pique their curiosity. Show them what you're all about. Show them what you're doing. And a couple of weeks ago, I was on a scope and somebody asked about my book. So I decided to open my book and read an entire section of my book to them. And I was just sitting at my at my phone just reading them, you know, my book. It was like the audio book version for free on Periscope kind of thing. So just, you know, there's no right or wrong thing. Well, maybe there's a few wrong things. But I mean, but bottom line, you know, try a bit of everything. I love the show and tell. One thing I've been doing as well, which has been working really well for me, is actually showing people what I'm doing on my computer screen. So I'll flip the camera around and show them what they're doing on my computer screen. Somebody asked whether I would show them how I actually kind of design and work through my scheduling, because I'm a big schedule freak, as you know, to manage my time and whatnot. Somebody asked whether I would show them, you know, what keynote presentation I was working on recently, that sort of type of thing. So, you know, for me, it's just, you know, try a little bit of everything. And you know, there's going to be certain things that work really, really well, but then there's going to be some things that don't work so well. You have to take note of those and you just avoid them in the future, you know.
Right. Okay. So my idea is one that I've done quite often now, and it's sort of an AMA or an Ask Me Anything. These are very popular on Reddit and on people's websites. You can just simply do, if you have an audience already, and Ask Me Anything. If you don't have an audience, and we'll get to that question. Tony in the chat here had said, "Well, what do you do when you have zero followers? Like, where do you start, and when? How do you stop yourself from just saying screw this?" So we'll get to that in a second. But if you have an audience, even a little one, an AMA, an Ask Me Anything will do very well. Just give people an opportunity, give them permission to ask you whatever, and then kind of just good etiquette with an AMA is you honestly answer those questions. That's kind of the cool thing about those AMAs. I like the show and tell idea as well. One thing to take that a next step is to do an unboxing. So if you get anything new, Periscope that opening, share your reaction, that sort of thing. Those are super popular videos on YouTube, and you can do the same thing. Maybe you get something on Amazon that you know is going to be interesting, whether it relates to your audience or not. It relates because it's you, and you are building a brand, and you're building trust. Hey guys, check out this new package I got. I want to show you what's inside. This is why I got it. I don't know, maybe there's an opportunity, and I'm not saying you should do this, but maybe there's an opportunity for you to even say, hey, if you want to get this, here's a special link. It'll take you to Amazon where you can get it, and I do under commission if you go through this. I mean, I can imagine somebody creating an amazingly popular Periscope channel where they just unbox things all day, you know? And then maybe companies send them stuff to unbox, and they just unbox every which thing, and their house is just full of this crap because so many people are watching. And when you can build a large audience like that, maybe I should try that. Maybe I should do a unboxing channel just for fun and experiment with that. Maybe not, but you know, that might be interesting. So yeah, that's another idea. What, you know, let's keep going back and forth. What about you, Chris? What's something else that you'd like to do?
I found the AMAs and the Q&As work really, really well. There's no doubt about that. I did one earlier on today that, like I said, it surprised me. And what I love about those is that you can go back and forth real rapid, real fast. And you know. What do you do on the weekends? I do this. How do you think about this? I do this. What football team do you support? Boom, ba, 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 ba. And it's just, you know, people get a really, really good idea as to the type of stuff that you're into and what you're all about in a very short space of time. So they do work extremely, extremely well. There's no doubt about it. Another thing that I like to do, and this is maybe not for everybody, but I do the odd Periscope broadcast that I call Scotch and Scope. Now, you've got to be careful. You've got to be careful when you involve alcohol.
Well, you gotta be careful when you involve.
Oh, yes. Well, contrary to public belief, thanks to Patrick Flynn, I'm not a raving alcoholic.
No, you're not.
But I do like my scotch. So what I'll do is actually, and I did this a couple of weeks ago when my wife was doing a overnight kind of sleepover birthday party thing with a little one, and I was left in the house all alone. What am I going to do? I'm going to hang out on Periscope. So I got a hold of a couple of glasses of scotch, and I started drinking and playing some of my favorite blues music via iTunes with my audience. Before I knew what was happening, it was an hour and a half in. I wasn't hammered or anything like that. Don't get me wrong. I wasn't drunk or anything.
Guys, I gotta tell you, I love you so much.
Yeah. Remember the time when we were hanging out? You know, all that sort of stuff. Nothing like that. But what I'm saying is that it enabled me, and it actually hit me, because I did an infographic. And allow me to give this URL out, if it's okay, Pat. I did an infographic on Periscope that has been just like that, which has actually been received extremely, extremely well. So if you guys want it, chrisducker.com/Periscope. Go and grab it right now. For you tuning in on Periscope, you can get it immediately. For those of you that are listening, well, you can get it also immediately as well, but you know what we're saying. But yeah, so, and one of the things that I said on that infographic when I put it together was, act as if you're hanging out with a friend. And so scotch and scope as a concept, as an idea, exactly that. Yes, I get questions about business, and yes, I get silly comments every now and then, and I've even had some people swear at me, and I don't care. I'll just block them. It is what it is. But just sitting there with a glass of scotch, playing some blues, talking about music and concerts and hanging out and, you know, memories and all that sort of stuff, that right there is like you're hanging out with a friend in a restaurant or at their home, like you and I have hung out at your house, out, you know, by the fire there, and we've drank scotch together. And I usually outdrink you. I get that, but I've got a few more years practice. No, he can't.
I'm learning.
He's a real lightweight when it comes to scotch. but bottom line is that, you know, that's what you and I do. That's what friends do, and it goes back to that principle of people to people. Make real life connections. People are way more likely to buy from somebody that they know, love, and trust. And if you build up that trust with somebody by creating that kind of open communication with the people that you're hanging out with, not just on Periscope, but everywhere else online, and when you get to meet in person, if you create that kind of relationship, not only are you going to be serving them better, but ultimately, as a business owner, you're going to be making a lot more money, because they'll part with their money gladly because you're helping them because they love you.
Right. Now, one of my favorite things to do, because again, I have an audience already, is I like to survey my audience. I like to ask them questions. So the title of the scope will be, for example, you know, three questions that can help me help you, or something like that. You know, I need work on the copy. But, you know, the idea is getting people on and then giving them permission to answer certain questions that are going to help you serve them even better down the road. So, for example, one question we can ask everybody who's on right now is, you know, what is your business? And so you can get an idea of kind of who is in your audience. You can ask, well, what's your biggest struggle right now? Which is a question that all of us should know to ask people in our audience, no matter what platform we're on. You know, surveying your audience is great. That was a few people suggested that here in the room, the Periscope that we're watching right now. Another one that I like to do is to, you know, obviously provide value, almost do like a mini sort of presentation, and not, you know, I want to say presentation in a formal way where there's slides. I mean, maybe you can use one or two slides. I've watched Periscopes before where they flip the screen around and they show certain slides, and, you know, maybe there's four slides. Jason Van Orden does this very well. But, you know, it doesn't have to be super formal, but where you're there and people know that they're going to learn about topic X. So, hey guys, check out this scope. You're going to learn five ways to get more viewers on YouTube. This is Amy Schmittauer for kind of content, you know, and it's, you know that when you go on there, that's what you're going to learn, and people can sit down. And if that's something they're interested in, you know, they're going to be there and interacting with you. You can dig deep into kind of what other thoughts they have, or they might ask you follow-up questions, which are great. You want to pay attention to what those follow-up questions are on those topics, because you know those are holes that need to be filled that you can then fill in a blog post. Or maybe you take this content, maybe you do a Periscope as sort of a warm-up precursor to a YouTube video that you're about to create. And those little conversations that happen within that Periscope can help you with the content that you're going to put in whatever other platform that you want, a podcast, whatever. So there's a lot of things you can do with that as well. And, you know, top three this,
number one tool to do this. Like, those are kind of good frameworks for topics that, you know, a lot of people will click on. I did one the other day that was three marketing tools you probably haven't heard of before. And that one got quite a bit of clicks, quite a bit of hearts, and a lot of people love that one as well. And then whenever you do one of those top three things or top five things, you know, save your best for last, but also tease it along the way as you're going as well. You know, you want people to stick around a long time. I think that's one of the big challenges that all of us have who are doing live broadcasts now, is how do you keep people on? You know, how do you keep their attention? It's very, very simple to just say, nope, screw this, I'm out of the scope. And, you know, I can't tell you how many scopes I've watched that I'm just like, wow, this is, nobody's talking. Why am I here? I'm out. You know, so again, those are things you have to pay attention to. So those are just some ideas for content that you can use in your scopes. We're closing up here on the hour, and I want to make sure to respect people's time. And I'm obviously, this is something that's very exciting to both of us right now and everybody who's watching live on Periscope. And for those of you who have listened this far in this particular podcast episode, obviously this is something that you're thinking about doing or something that you're interested in. So let's, for the beginners out there, Chris and Tony, who was on Patscope, who asked, okay, well, what stops you from just saying screw it when you start from scratch and you have zero people watching, or maybe one or two people watching? How do you best get started, and how do you start building an audience from scratch? Because yes, we started with a Twitter following already. And, you know, so connect to your Twitter account. That's going to help you. But if you don't even have that, like, is this even worth starting, or is it worth starting another channel first to then get people onto Periscope? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, the first thing I would say, if you're starting out and you have absolutely no community at all, first and foremost, get over yourself. Seriously. There's absolutely nothing wrong with starting from scratch. I'll tell you why. Because I did it before. Pat did it before. Anyone that's got any kind of community anywhere in the world, online or off, all started from scratch, period. So you've got to start somewhere. But what I see for sure is that people that do start from scratch today in this kind of economy, in this kind of world, those that are really, really consistent and those that really hustle up and work hard, and I mean really hard for the first 6 or so months or so, they are the ones that have the most amount of traction out of the gate. You cannot expect people to follow you just because you happen to be popping up on Periscope once a week. No, if you're starting from scratch, you've got to be popping up on Periscope 3 times a day. You understand what I mean? You've got to work hard to build up that community. You've got to be found, you've got to be seen, and you've got to provide value. Because if you're not doing those things, then obviously it doesn't matter how many times you're going to be getting onto Periscope or anywhere else for that matter. If you're not providing value, and if you're not allowing yourself to be found, then, you know, people won't find you, they won't follow you, they won't consume the content that you're putting out, let alone share it with the people they know, love, and trust. And ultimately, you won't get any kind of community. So that, you know, I get it. People start from scratch every single day, but understand that anybody that's in a position right now of any kind of influence all started from scratch at some point. So don't let that hinder you. Don't let that, you know, that negativity or the, oh, there's so much to do, I don't know, you know, what am I going to do? I don't know where to start. Just start. Like Seth Godin says, you got to ship it. You can't be sitting on it forever.
You got to ship and you got to keep going with it. And yes, there may be scopes you do in the beginning where there's nobody watching, but maybe that next one, 5 people watch. And then those people share and they like what they hear. Maybe more there will come later. And it's just you got to keep going. And as long as you know that it's a process and it's going to take some hard work in the beginning, you know, you're going to find success. We've had a lot of people here on Patscope actually mention how they started from scratch and now they have hundreds, thousands. Somebody mentioned they have 500,000 Facebook followers that they've started, and they started from scratch as well. And that was with no ads as well. So congratulations, everybody out there who is taking action. And if you're starting from scratch, you know, hopefully this is motivating you and not discouraging you. And just know that we all went through the same thing. When you first start out, nobody's there. It's crickets. It's difficult. But that's part of the fun. And that's part of what entrepreneurship is all about. It's these challenges. This is your first challenge. As you grow and you get 1,000 subscribers, you're going to have a completely different challenge. Chris and I both have several challenges in our business right now. And we're going to have more in the future as well. That's what being an entrepreneur is all about. It's about overcoming these challenges, being met with these hurdles and figuring it out. And learning from, hopefully, like you're learning from Chris right now and myself with the experience I have on Periscope, how to use this if it makes sense for your business as well. So, Chris, any final thoughts here? Let's talk about, just like one would do at the end of a podcast episode, at the end of a video, is it okay? And how would one go about adding a call to action into their Periscope?
Yeah, okay. So I've tested this quite heavily. I've tested several different CTAs, things like please go ahead and share, please go ahead and follow, please go ahead and give me hearts. And I, one thing I have seen without a shadow of a doubt is that those three things, shares, following, and hearts on Periscope, yes, they are all CTAs. They are call to actions. However, they don't really count on Periscope. It's the weirdest thing. You can get away with asking for hearts several times, for followers, several times, for shares, several times. Don't feel bad about it. The fact of the matter is, just like when somebody buys a book on Amazon, they don't feel obliged when they're done reading the book to go back to Amazon and actually do a review, do they? No, they're not forced into it. But if you ask them to do it, they're more likely to go ahead and do that. When you ask, people do. Leanne has just commented on my scope at my end saying exactly those words, and it's 100% true. So likewise with CTAs on Periscope, but here's the reason why I don't think they really, why they don't mention, or rather why they don't count, because they're all Periscope-related CTAs. People, it's easy for somebody to tap the screen. It's easy for them to share and follow you here. Mm-hmm. But what's not easy is when you say, if you like today's show here on Periscope, I'd love for you to head over to chrisducker.com/Periscope to check out a great infographic that I put together that I know you're going to love, learning more about how to use this fantastic app to be able to grow your personal brand online. Now, that's a CTA right there. That's my 20-second elevator pitch to get somebody from Periscope back over to my blog so that they can see that infographic and hopefully go ahead and actually opt into my email list as well because I like what they see. But that's not an easy CTA to do. But the fact of the matter is, if you don't do it, you won't get those visitors back to your website.
That's
so you know, the tail of the tape is quite frankly, if you don't ask, you don't get. You must ask. And that's why it's called a call to action. You're calling somebody to take some kind of action.
Right. It's okay to do that. And I think it's really your right to do that. If you've especially provided a lot of value, you have the right to ask for certain things. And, you know, you can go overboard with that too, right, Chris? Like you could ask, okay, here's this website you want to go to. And oh, if you're interested in this, here's that website. Then you give people too many options and then nobody takes any action. A couple Periscope call to actions to follow, share, and heart. That's okay. That's easy to do. That's something they do then and then they forget about it forever. But going to chrisducker.com/Periscope, that is very important because what happens is as you start to build your audience and authority on Periscope and your existing followers are there, you're getting new followers on there as well. You always want people to go back to your home base, which is your website. You always want people to go back because that's where all the action happens. That's where you can then finally collect their email address and then you can get really personal and into the, you know, campaigns and the courses that you have to offer or anything else that you have to serve that audience as well. So build the audience, but also remember the most important call to action, hopefully all of you are doing this, is at the end, at least get people back to your homepage, if not a specific landing page for people watching on Periscope as well. So Chris, any final thoughts as we close up here today, here on the podcast?
Yeah, my final thought is that if you are the type of solopreneur, wannapreneur, entrepreneur, whatever you want to call yourself, if you're the type of person within that particular realm that is building a business based around you, your personality, what you do, the stories you tell, the way you do things, you cannot afford, in my mind right now, you cannot afford to not get active on Periscope. This is personal branding on steroids. It is communication and acknowledging and embracing and engaging with your audience on steroids. You cannot afford to not be involved on Periscope if you are building the business of you. And that's what I truly, truly believe. And that is why I sit with my team for over an hour and a half at the beginning of this week and actually put genuine Periscope content on our content schedule for the rest of the year. Actual slots and topics of what we're going to cover. I did that with my team at the beginning of the week. It's going to happen. And when I start rolling that content out, people will eat it up. So I believe that that's it. If you're building the business of you, you've got to get active on Periscope. You can't afford not to.
Love that. Love that. Thank you so much, Chris. And I had mentioned earlier that you're coming out with something later this year. I am obviously, you know, aware of this because we kind of were there when it all kind of started together after some events last year. So why don't you give us a brief rundown of what it is that you have going on? I am so excited for this and for you and everything else that's going to happen. So what is this that we have to look forward to here, Chris?
So, Matt, and you have been, you've very much been involved in this process the last few years. I think it was probably about 3 years ago I first mentioned to you that I wanted to start my own membership community, my paid membership community online. And here we are 3 years later, and it's finally actually going to happen. So what we're doing is we're launching Youpreneur. That's youpreneur.com. Very, very soon. I'm not quite sure when this will go out. It might even be open. The doors might be open by the time you actually publish this. But Youpreneur is going to be the type of entrepreneurial community where absolutely nobody is going to be left behind. It's going to be the kind of community that I want and needed to join years ago when I started growing my online businesses. And I'm going to be launching it very, very soon. It's going to cover everything from learning from experts. You and I have already shot a video in person for it, amongst a load of other people. It's going to be the type of place where you can get the accountability that you need as an entrepreneur. You are going to be able to cure that entrepreneurial loneliness. And ultimately, you know, you'll have that support from people, you know, when you need help and you need advice, just like you and I do when we chat to each other. You'll have that in a group way where people can not only support you through your tough times, but also can help you celebrate those business wins as well. And I'm a big believer of celebrating all of the big events in your life and everything that you do. So if anybody is interested, you can hop over to youpreneur.com. It's a mastermind on steroids. It really is going to be something that I'm hopefully going to be extremely proud of. I'm already proud of just the concepts behind it. And quite frankly, this is my next 10 years, bro.
I love that.
This is my next 10 years. I am all in on this mastermind community at youpreneur.com. And I can't wait to start conversing with the members. Honestly, I'm going to close my career out with this one.
That's awesome, man. I'm so proud of you. I'm really excited. And so where can people go to, I don't know, sign up to get more information about this?
They can head over to youpreneur.com, youpreneur.com. Simple as that.
Sweet. And we've been talking about building personal brands today, so that perfectly aligns. And now I understand perfectly why Periscope is such a big player and going to be a big role in your business in the future and for all the other youpreneurs out there as well. You've coined a new term, man. I love it. And I appreciate you, Chris, as always, for coming on the show. For those of you who are watching live, thank you as well. And of course, for those of you listening, you guys are amazing. Thank you so much. I have a few more words for you after we hang up with Chris. But Chris, thanks so much. I appreciate you, bud. And we'll connect soon, I'm sure.
Thank you, brother. Love you, man.
All right. I hope you enjoyed that interview with my good friend Chris Ducker from chrisducker.com and youpreneur.com, which is going to be really cool. Also, you can find him at Chris Ducker on Instagram, Twitter, and of course, Periscope. You can find me on Periscope at Pat Flynn. As a reminder, you have to get the app first on your iOS or Android device. Then you can find us there at Chris Ducker and at Pat Flynn. And be careful, because you can get addicted to Periscope too. It could be very, very cool and fun, and just make sure it doesn't distract you from what you should be doing. But it can also, like Chris talked about, add a lot of value to what you're doing and build a stronger relationship with you and your audience as well. I also want to thank today's sponsors. First up, a brand new sponsor today, and I'm really excited to share this one because this is a tool that I've used and it's helped out so much with the clutter of emails that I have in my inbox. And this is Sanebox, S-A-N-E-B-O-X. And you know, I love getting emails, but now that I've grown as a business and I do put my email address out there, I get a lot of emails. And it got to a point where I was up to 10,000 unread emails. And I felt like when people were emailing me, it was just, I just felt bad because I knew I wasn't going to be able to get back to them. If email is a major pain for you, like it was for me, then this could be your cure. What Sanebox does is it moves unimportant emails out of the inbox into a separate folder and saves you countless hours a day or a week or even a year. And the thing is, I had to hire somebody, Jessica, to do a lot of this for me manually, but Sanebox can do this for you. Other features include one-click unsubscribing, snoozing on non-urgent emails, and moving attachments to Dropbox, which is really cool. You can prepare to increase your email productivity by at least 25%. All you have to do is go to sanebox.com/pat to try Sanebox free for 2 weeks. No credit card required. You can just sign up, get it going. It'll show you right away. After that, Smart Passive Income listeners will get $25 off a membership. So the deepest discount you'll find anywhere for this tool. Again, that's www.sanebox.com smartpassiveincome.com/pat.
Also, I want to take a quick moment just to thank you. I don't know if you realize this, but you, the listeners, have made a massive impact on the direction of where Smart Passive Income has gone. As a result of you, I've been interviewing certain guests that you've recommended. As a result of your recommendations, I've been tackling different topics that are of high interest to you. In addition to that, I created a brand new podcast called Ask Pat, which you may have heard of before. And on that show, I answer voicemail questions from you as well. You can actually check that out at askpat.com. But that wouldn't happen if it wasn't for you. Obviously, Ask Pat, there needs to be questions in addition to my answers in order to make that show a success. And I'm so thankful that it's there. And I have you to thank for that. I also have you to thank for pushing me to create some online courses to help you through a number of the different problems and pains that you might be having with your online business, the scaling of it, just even the start and the process of it. Even though there's a lot of great free information here via the podcast, I know this from my own experience as well, courses can be life-changing because you purchase a course and you are just in that mindset of actually doing that thing that course tells you to do. And I have a number of different courses available to you if that's the kind of thing you need in order to actually finally start getting results and taking action. So I know a number of you have already taken action, which is fine. Like, I'm not trying to push these courses on you, but they are there and available for those of you who would much prefer to get that targeted information and the accountability and the handholding through those processes. So if you want to check out and see all the courses that are available to you, all you have to do is go to smartpassiveincome.com/courses. That's a page that's going to continually grow over time as well. So keep checking back, smartpassiveincome.com/courses. And I look forward to hopefully seeing you there.
Thank you again for listening. I appreciate you. And I look forward to serving you in the next episode of the SPI podcast, where we will be talking with a guest who has had a major influence and impact on myself and what SPI will become in the very near future. This is somebody who has written a book that gave me the formula to do the surveys that I just did that have been completely helpful in terms of determining exactly who you are, the listeners, and what I could do to better serve you. We're talking with Ryan Levesque from askformula.com and the author of the best-selling book Ask next week. So please subscribe so you don't miss that episode. Thank you again so much for listening. And of course, the show notes for this particular episode can be found at smartpassiveincome.com/177. Cheers. Thanks so much. And I look forward to seeing you in the next episode. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Smart Passive Income podcast at www.smartpassiveincome.com.
Hey guys, so we have a little bonus clip here for you. I wanted to bring my buddy on, Wes Chapman from A Human Project, on to talk about something really important, actually, and something, you know, a lot of you know I've been doing the Pencils of Promise stuff. I'm on the advisory board for Pencils of Promise, and Wes is doing some amazing things to help a whole lot of people. You'll hear it. So Wes, welcome to this sort of bonus audio here at the end of the podcast episode here. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man. I showered and shaved and everything.
You did, yeah.
I did.
I'm sorry, it's an audio show, but
it's okay. I'm in my lucky underwear.
Okay, cool. So even better. Right. Now you've painted a picture in everybody's head.
Yes.
anyway, paint us a picture of what it is that you have going on here.
So I founded A Human Project a few years ago with the mission to create a community of empowered youth, and that seems really broad and paints like a big, you know, a big painting. And that's on purpose, because the youth that we are targeting are youth who are living in dysfunctional situations. That means that they're being neglected, they're being abused, they're not being heard. And that type of action is leading them to things like suicide, cutting, drugs, teen pregnancies. The list goes on and on and on and on. And in the United States alone, to kind of give it a number for you, that's 1 out of 3 children. That's 25 million children that are fitting that type of a demographic. Our suicide rates are crazy. A child tries to commit suicide every minute in this country, and every 13 minutes they're successful. And so those numbers aren't going down, they're going up. So I have a crazy backstory, and people can go and Google my name in Google and you can hear the whole backstory. But I got out of those types of situations through entrepreneurialism, through finding people that believed in me. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to, after a very long journey, I wanted to be able to give back. So that's what I'm doing. And we're now in 7 countries and we're expanding like crazy. And we've got a whole online program that I'm very, very busy creating 52 course video series so that I can be literally in 1,000 places at once in educating thanks to technology and podcasting and all that. So that's a quick overview.
So I think when my audience hears a video course and stuff, they think, oh, well, this guy's just trying to come on and, you know, make some money. So what exactly is this course thing?
Yeah, so basically, I've been living in homes with children with all kinds of different stories. I've spoken in front of about and worked with about 50,000 youth now. And I also have invested just north of $3 million in myself, in psychology and training, and just kind of going through my stuff, right? And we all have things that we want to go through. And I've found how it works, how to successfully move somebody from where they are to where they need to be to where they want to be. And so I very, very successful in doing that in homes, living with children and families and shifting and working with them and getting them the help that they need. And so somebody came up and said, you should start doing videos so people can 2 o'clock in the morning, they can log in and go through some of these courses and these lessons that you teach live. And I thought, awesome. So that's what we're doing. It's free of charge. You do have to be a child to get access to it. It'll be pretty secure. There's not a social media aspect to it or anything like that. And so, but everything will be free. The videos will be, there's no charge, there's no anything. And it's just going to be content so that a youth who is thinking of life or ending their life or thinks that they can't get out of a situation or doesn't know how to move themselves from one place to another literally can log onto the program and do that. And we beta tested this last year. And in our first beta test, we had 1,000 youth register within about a 72-hour time period. So it was very, very successful. We found that the youth were spending 3 to 4 hours a week inside the video courses and the stuff that we had. So I'm stoked. We're actually going to end up having 365 courses when it's all said and done. Mm-hmm. But that will be one course per day and youth will consume that and it's not even a problem. So they spend a lot of time on social media and YouTube,
on the computers. So. Yeah. Yeah. Just thank you for doing that because, I have 2 kids and they're quite young and I know that, I have to make sure that they're going to be okay when they get up when they grow older, and I know you have children as well, and this is really important. So thank you again for doing this and sharing this here as well. I wanted to just bring awareness for this. Essentially, is why I wanted you to come on, and I wanted to put you in your own episode, and we'll get to that at some point. But I also wanted to raise awareness for this now because this is obviously very important, and also you have an event coming up that unfortunately I cannot speak at. I was invited to speak at and I would have loved to. It's just a scheduling conflict with another event, but I wanted to again try and help out as much as possible. And so I wanted to give you like another minute here to just talk about this event and where people can get more information about it.
Yeah. So, and we'll have you there next year for sure. So
thank you.
I had one of my donors, an individual, Cole Hatter, who came to me a few months ago and said, hey, I want to actually like a year ago and said, I want to put on an event. And I have some background in events and things, and took us about 8 months to find the right team and all the right players, but we did. And now we are putting on an event called Thrive, and it's in Las Vegas, Nevada on October 16th through the 18th. And the whole mission of the event is to kind of debunk a lot of the events that are out there in the entrepreneurial space, in the sense of there's absolutely no selling at the event. There's not upselling. You're not going to go through any of that. And it's rich content from people who legitimately should be on a stage giving that content. Guys like Gary Vaynerchuk, Robert Herjavec, Dan Martell, Adam Braun, Tucker Max. I mean, the list goes on and on and on of entrepreneurs who have come together to teach principles of making money. So how do you make money? We have one of the speakers who took a company from $10 million to $3.5 billion. And he's done that a couple of times. So the making money part, like how do you do it? And then a part that a lot of people don't talk about is how do you protect your money? How do you make sure that, you've got all the structuring right? You're doing all the things that you need to be doing, taking advantage of all of the different opportunities that this amazing country has to make sure you're protected as you're developing and growing this wealth. And the most important thing is we're going to teach people how to make their money matter. So once you've kind of figured out how to make $1 million, right? Maybe that's your goal. You want to live $1 million a year lifestyle. Okay. So once you figure that out with a few key principles, some techniques, some mentoring, all these different things, it's not that difficult to make another $1 million. So what if you could make $1 million, live the dream life, and then make another $1 million and actually make that money be a part of your passion or your give back, whatever it is, whether you want to, you know, like you were saying, build schools in Africa, or you want to change the education system in the United States, you want to help the Marines. I mean, whatever it is that you want to do, what if you had the ability to have money to make that happen? So that's going to be another aspect of the event, and the to kind of prove that, like to put our, you know, to put our money where our mouths are, I guess you could say, is that 100% of the profits from this event are going to the efforts of a human project. So when somebody buys a ticket, you know, the profits from that are going directly to a human project so that we can continue growing this mission, growing this concept of re-educating youth, of giving them an opportunity, of letting them live a life, you know, that they didn't think that they could live before. So Thrive is going to be amazing. I think we have like 25 speakers. It's 3 days in Las Vegas. We have 52,000 square feet at the Mandalay Bay. It's going to be amazing. It's a lot of focus on networking, like real networking, not like here's my business card, but really, I mean, we have Keith Ferrazzi, who's coming in to open, along with Gary Vaynerchuk, and talking about the power of human connection, talking about how to take an event like Thrive and actually not only learn, but how do you grow your network? Because there's the quote, right? Your net worth is your network. So how do you grow your network in an environment like this when you're going to be, you know, surrounded by guys like Robert Herjavec? How do you take advantage of that? So almost 3/4 of the 52,000 square feet will be dedicated to networking and doing some really, really cool things in that space. So it's going to be an amazing, amazing event.
Yeah, I'm sorry again that I'm going to miss it, but I definitely want everybody to check it out. What's the URL where people can get more info?
So it's thrivelasvegas.com. thrivelasvegas.com.
Awesome. Wes, thank you. I wish you guys the best of luck at the event. And, you know, there's a lot of hints of what we had heard on the show before when Adam Braun came on, and also Dale Partridge. Just, you know, going beyond our immediate reach and trying to reach and help more people in this world who we can, because we're all much more connected now in terms of using entrepreneurship to help us get there as well. This is fantastic. So thank you again for what you do and all you've done and all you're going to do. And, you know, I look forward to following the tweets during the show and reading about it later in reviews and things like that. So thank you again for coming on, Wes. We appreciate you. Wes Chapman, everybody. Again, that's thrivelasvegas.com.
Thanks, Pat.
Entrepreneurs, what is the smart way to save when your growing business takes you on the road? Whether you're going to events or conventions or you're speaking somewhere, no matter what it is, you need to sign up for a free membership with Hertz Business Rewards. Yep, Hertz Rental Car created a program to help small and mid-sized businesses save money. Work trips, client meetings, industry conferences. With Hertz Business Rewards, you save at least 20% every time you rent a car. And you'll save on more than just the daily rate. Members earn credits redeemable toward free rental days. And it's also free to add an additional driver if any additional coworkers come along. And for those Gen Z entrepreneurs out there, no young renter fees. Plus, sign up for Hertz Business Rewards today and earn 3x credit during your first 90 days. These benefits add up to big savings that stack more dollars in your wallet. Join for free at hertz.com/business rewards. Applies to base rate, taxes, fees, and options excluded. Additional terms and exclusions apply. Visit hertz.com/business rewards to learn more. Hey, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. And if you're looking for a new podcast to add to your rotation, I highly recommend Problem Solvers, hosted by Jason Pfeiffer, who's been on the show a few times, actually. As you probably heard in the credits, both our shows are on the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. On Problem Solvers, Entrepreneur's editor-in-chief tells the stories of real founders that solved real problems in their businesses, helping listeners get through any obstacles in their own ventures. And each episode is really distinct and easy to follow, and they're bite-sized too, usually around 15 to 20 minutes. And Jason pulls each story out himself so you can avoid the same crippling problems. Matt and I were recently on the show in episode 302, and Jason recently hosted a great episode on whether anyone could be too quote-unquote curious for a traditional career. Listen to Problem Solvers right now on Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, or Stitcher.